Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 27 is what I want us to consider this morning. There we find these words, "And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." This morning, our message is entitled, "Facing the Impossible with the Almighty." I'm going to ask you to bow with me. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing upon our time and our study of His Word this morning. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that as we come and as we gather together, we're able to do so knowing that You are God who is able to do all things. There is nothing too hard for God. You are a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful. There is none like unto You. There is no rival to our God. And we can trust in You. We thank You that You as our God are unchanging and Your love is undying. And Lord, we can come and we can rest in You. We can find in You our refuge, our strength, our hope for all eternity. So Lord, we ask and pray today that as we come and as we seek to study this portion of Scripture, this thought together of facing the impossible with the Almighty, that You would encourage us and strengthen us in our walk and in our service for You, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all eternity. And Lord, we come and bow in Your presence, asking for Your help and strength now. In Jesus' name, amen. All of us will face challenging times. All of us will face times of testing in times of trial. None of us are going to avoid that within our life. We are all engaged in a spiritual battle, and we are constantly wrestling against our flesh, and we are constantly wrestling against the temptations of sin, against the prince of the powers of the air, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We are constantly in the midst of battle. We are always engaged in difficulty and conflict. And all of us could say, like the Apostle Paul, that we spend too much time doing the things that we know we shouldn't do and not enough time doing those things that we know we ought to do. We live our lives in the midst of a battle. We live in the midst of difficult days. We all face trials and testing within our lives, and we have to fight against the temptations of sin. As you consider your days and as you seek to walk wisely in this present world, I want to ask you this question this morning. Are there areas of your life, situations in your home, problems at work, financial burdens that to you just seem to be impossible? Have you ever just faced up to a situation and said, "I don't know that it is possible for us to overcome. I'm not sure that in this case we're going to be able to see our way clear. I don't know that it's really possible for me to have that victory." You know, sometimes we struggle with certain sins within our life, and we have tried and tried over the years to get victory over that sin. We've even asked the Lord for help, but we always just seem to slip back into the old habits and the old patterns of life. To us, we sometimes just say, "Well, that's just who I am. That's just my flaw of my character. And I guess I'll just have to learn to deal with it because it's going to be impossible for me to have the victory." Maybe it's that there's been someone that you've been praying for many years. You've witnessed to them over those years. You have given them clearly the gospel. They've even come to services. They've heard the gospel presented. You can even see at times that they've been convicted of their sin. And yet still, to you, your prayers seem to go unanswered. They're still lost. They've never yet trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe to us, we can begin to think that, well, they're hopeless. There's no way they're ever going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. To you and to me, these circumstances just seem to be impossible. You know, all of us, at one time or another, have faced, and we're going to continue to face times like these, as long as you and I live in the flesh. There's going to be circumstances that just to us seem to be too hard, impossible to overcome. In fact, the disciples felt that way right here in Mark chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ has just impressed upon them or expressed to them the intrinsic difficulty for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Those that are wealthy in this world, those who are trusting in the riches of this world, the Lord Jesus says it's hard for them to enter into the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the apostles were astonished at such a statement. And they were confused. And because of that confusion, to them it seemed to be impossible then for any man to be saved. You know, the reality is that men who live with an eye upon that which is earthly, or believe that their joy and satisfaction is found in that which is material and not spiritual, they are going to find it hard to enter into the kingdom of God. They're going to have a hard time believing that Jesus Christ and Him alone is all that they need. Yet the possibility, or the reality is, it's not impossible for them to be saved. But the disciples express such a truth. Who then can be saved? Then the Lord Jesus comes in verse 27. And He gives them hope for eternity. And we read these words, verse 27. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Yes, it is true that as you and I look at earthly situations, as we face times of testing and trial, as we face days of adversity, as we face difficulties, as we seek to overcome some habits and sins within our life, to us it may seem impossible. For that neighbor to finally respond and come with you to church may seem to be impossible in your eyes. For that relative that you've been praying for them to be saved, it may seem as if that will never happen. For you to have the financial freedom that you desire and you want to get out of that debt and be able to use your resources for the Lord, to you may be like a mountain you can never climb, but it is not impossible with God. Although in our eyes it seems as such, with God all things are possible. Can I say that this to you this morning? That is true within your life, and folks, that is true within the church. There are times we're going to have our back up against the wall, and it just won't seem possible for us as a church to be able to do that which we think we need to do. Is it going to be possible? Not with men, it's not. But with God, all things are possible. And that's a truth I want to drive home within our hearts this morning. As we begin to consider our theme together, I want us to do so by, first of all, viewing the impossible. I want us to view the impossible. Throughout the history of mankind, God has placed His servants in situations which to them seemed impossible. By the way, the word impossible is a word made up of a little prefix, A. That prefix, A, negates the word that follows. And the word that follows the prefix, A, is the word dunamis, which means powerful, capable. The word dunamis is a word that would speak of a mighty man. Therefore, when you consider what it means for something to be impossible, it means to be without power, to be without capability. How true it is that we are incapable of doing for ourselves that which needs to be done. And at times God places you and I, He will place our church in a position that we will learn that we are incapable of doing anything apart from God. And this morning I want you to see some examples with me from Scripture of the impossible situations that God's servants had to face. I want to begin this morning in the book of Genesis in the 15th chapter. Genesis 15. And I want you to consider the impossibility for Abraham. Genesis chapter 15 this morning. We're familiar with the story of Abraham. We know that in Genesis chapter 12, God came to Abraham and He promised that Abraham would be made a great nation. And through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. In Genesis 15, verse 1, we read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6 says, And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God had promised Abraham that through him he would make a great nation, that he would have a son. Here's the problem. Abram and Sarah had no children. And they were well beyond the age in which they would be able to bear children. Sarah had been barren. Abraham is now asking the Lord, as the Lord comes to reconfirm his covenant, Lord, maybe your plan is that one of those who is born in my house, born to one of my servants, maybe they should be heir. Abraham just couldn't understand or comprehend how it was possible that through him all the nations of the earth could be blessed because he and Sarah could not have children. It was impossible for them to conceive, humanly speaking. It was impossible. But God would come to Abraham and say to him and remind him that although to you it seemed to be impossible, I will promise you that the heir and he that will be the one through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed will spring forth out of your own bowels. You will give birth to a son. To Abraham and to Sarah, it seemed to be impossible. Yet Abraham and Sarah would shortly learn that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Their situation was impossible, but God's promise is true. And God will fulfill His word and He will carry out His promises. To men, it was impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. You can turn, if you like, to Genesis 32 this morning. I'm not going to read through all of those verses, but here we find the story of Jacob. You'll be reminded that Jacob had a brother whose name was Esau. And Jacob had stolen the birthright and the blessing, and Esau therefore sought his life because Jacob had robbed him of that birthright. He had robbed him of the blessing. Therefore, Jacob fled for his life. And as we come to Genesis 32, what we find is Jacob and his entire family is now returning to the place that God had promised to him. And God has asked him now to return to that place, his homeland. As they made their way home, you'll be reminded that word would come to Jacob that Esau, his brother, was coming forth to meet him. Well, that's not too bad. Jacob's there with his whole family. Yes, but Esau was coming with 400 of his men. How comfortable you think Jacob felt with that news? Esau had vowed to take his life because of what Jacob had done unto him, because of how he had deceived him. And now Jacob, under the leading of the Lord, is now coming home. And Esau sends word that I'm coming to meet you with 400 men. Yikes. I think there's a little bit of fear and trepidation. Just imagine the thoughts that must have gone through Jacob's mind. There was no earthly way that Jacob could defeat Esau and his men. There was no way he'd be able to flee from that situation with young children in tow and herds of cattle and sheep. How would he handle such a difficult situation? Well, Jacob had one thought in mind, and so Jacob, being the supplanter, the deceiver, and Esau being a warrior, Jacob put a plan in place to win over his brother. So he set out companies, and there they would meet him with gifts to be able to appease his wrath. But on the night before Jacob was to meet with Esau, you'll be reminded that in Genesis 32, Jacob would now wrestle with the angel of the Lord. And through all of those things in Genesis 32, Jacob would learn the value and the importance of clinging to the Lord and trusting in Him for strength. The Lord would say to Jacob, "Thou art strong and hast found favor in my sight." But the Lord would then touch the hollow of his thigh and put his thigh right out of joint, his hip out of joint. Jacob would no longer be able to flee. He'd be placed in a position that he would have to trust the Lord. To Jacob, this was an impossible situation. There's no place to run. Tomorrow he would have to meet his brother and had no idea what the response would be. We know that God did a wonderful work. He restored, mended a broken relationship between Jacob and Esau. To Jacob, it was impossible. There was no way to win. He had done his best. He had done all that he could plan, and now he can't even flee. With men, it was impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Consider the story of David as a young shepherd boy, going out to meet with Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. This youth is sent to battle against the mighty warrior giant Goliath. You know the story, you know it well. You know, the reality is this: there was no one in that present day, and by the way, no one in our present day, who would give David a fighting chance of being the victor in this one-to-one match that he was going forth to fight. David was going forth with really no armor. He was going forth with no weaponry. And he, as a youth, a lad, a shepherd boy, is going out with his little sling and his stones to fight the great warrior giant Goliath, whom no warrior in Israel would dare to stand and fight. On a human scale, there is no way you pick those odds that David wins. There is no way possible for that to take place. David would have to be slain because Goliath, the giant, the warrior, skilled in battle against a youth, a boy, with a sling and stones. And although it seems impossible to man, God is able to overcome, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. To men it seemed impossible, but not with God. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6. I love the story that we find here. We find the prophet Elisha. Israel is facing their enemy Syria. God's prophet Elisha and his servant now find themselves surrounded by Syria in a city. As the servant wakes up in the morning, he begins to look around and he sees that the armies of Syria have now surrounded the city. And humanly speaking, he would make the right observation. This is not good. This is impossible. They were surrounded. The enemy was great. Look at verse 13 and follow along down to verse 17. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariot. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now stop right there for a moment. That servant had to think that the prophet was nuts. He had lost his mind. The army had surrounded him. There were chariots and horses, and there they too stand. There are more with us than be with them. That's your response? The servant saw the situation to be impossible. But verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Humanly speaking, the situation that Elisha found himself in was impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. We could turn this morning to Acts chapter 16 and we could consider Paul and Silas as they find themselves because they preach the gospel in a prison. They are chained in the heart of the very prison. There is no way for them to escape. Martyrdom has now become a part of Christianity. Those who preach the gospel are giving their lives once they've been imprisoned. There's no way out. There seemed to be no hope. Yet the truth is, God is able to break the chains which bind the servant as we lift our voice in praise to the Lord. A midnight sinspiration releases every prison door and releases every chain. And they could go free if need be. God is able to do that which to us seems to be impossible. As we have been reminded of that which is impossible, as we reflect upon our own problems that seem beyond victory, there's yet another point that we need to consider this morning. Yes, we view the impossible, but you and I must learn to believe in the possible. To us, the situations seem hopeless. They're impossible. There is no way that we are capable of handling that which is before us. But the Lord Jesus would say, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." As you and I view that which seems to be impossible, we as God's people must learn to believe in that which is possible. As I go back to Mark chapter 10 and I consider that verse yet again, I'm reminded again of that wonderful little word that we find. So often I point this word out to you because to me it truly is a marvelous little word. With men, it is impossible, What's the next word? But. But not with God. That little word of contrast. Although things seem to be beyond the capabilities of man, although things for us are impossible, with God, anything is possible. You and I need to learn to believe in that which is possible because we believe in God. Yes, it is true, Abraham and Sarah were beyond able to bear a child. There was no earthly reason for them to think that they would ever conceive and bear a child. But He who made them and He who gives life is able to make the barren give birth. There is a possibility with God. True, for Jacob it looked like the end had come. His best laid plans had now been matched and he could not even run. Yet He who formed them in the belly of their mother was able to restore a broken bond between bitter brothers. Although it's not possible with men, it is possible with God. True, David, a shepherd boy without armor or weapon, should not have been considered the likely choice to fight the master warrior Goliath. But then again, there is no enemy that God cannot defeat. With God it is possible. Surely fear and trembling should or would be the natural response for Elijah, his servant, for Paul and Silas. But God is able to deliver us from all our enemies. With God, all things are possible. And folks, that truth is the same for you and I. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing that He cannot do. No sin He can't help you conquer. No provision that He cannot meet. No life that He cannot change. No circumstance that confounds His infinite wisdom. Beloved, our God is able. There is hope. There is a possibility. When we come to situations and in our life say, it is impossible. I am not capable. That is true. But God is able. With men, yes, it's impossible. But that is not true for God. Make no mistakes, all things are possible with God. And you and I must learn to see things through the eyes of the Lord. By faith we must believe that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. With men it's impossible, but not with God. Believe in that which is possible. Finally this morning, I want to finish things off by making all this practical. Seeing that man is incapable of doing anything, but God is capable to do all things, how then do we face those days and those times that are impossible? You and I enter into situations of life and we view that which is impossible. We're called then to believe that which is possible. How then do we walk and face that possible situation that is before us? There are four ways to practically carry out this truth that we have learned. How do we face the impossible in such of a way that we will allow the Lord to do for us what we cannot, fulfill His perfect will within us? Four things I want you to consider as before we close this morning. Number one, if we're going to face that which is impossible, we must learn to walk daily with Christ. I want you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 15. We read it this morning for our scripture reading. John chapter 15. If we're going to face that which is impossible, we must be willing to walk daily with Christ. I know this might seem to be a simplistic thought. Well, of course, Pastor, we're all as Christians supposed to walk with the Lord. We understand that. But understand what the Lord Jesus has said to us in John chapter 15. Beginning in verse 4, He tells us, abide in Me and I in you, as the branch, notice the words, cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. See the impossibilities? You cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Notice how he ends. For without me, ye can do nothing. How do you face that which is impossible? We abide in Christ. We daily walk with him. The Lord Jesus says that we must abide in him, for without him, we can truly do nothing. A branch is unable to produce fruit except to be connected to the vine. The vine is the source of life, power. It is the source of the branch's vitality. It is God who is able to do all things. Therefore, the impossible can be faced well as long as we are attached to the one who is able to do all things. We must abide in him. So often you and I look at the situations that seem to be hopeless and hard, and we devise our plans, we come up with our ways, and we make our decisions apart from being with the Lord. And the Lord Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. But with him all things are possible. So how do we face that situation that just seems to be too hard? Folks, daily we must walk with the Lord. We must abide in him. And that word abide means to dwell. It means to be at home with. It means that you long to be in their presence. When you're away, you want to go home. If you're away from your family, you want to be with them. You want to abide with them. And as a Christian, this world is not our home. This is not our dwelling place. The world around us is not our family. Jesus Christ is, and heaven is our home. And we ought to want to dwell with him. We ought to want to abide with him. Day by day, that should be the longing of our soul. How do we face that which is impossible? We must walk daily with the Lord. Abide in him. Then you and I are able to face that which seems to be too hard and too difficult. Not only must we walk daily with Christ, but secondly, we must find our sufficiency in Christ. If we're going to face that which to us seems to be impossible, then we must find our sufficiency in Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Look with me at verse 5. Paul writes and says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Since we can do nothing, why then would we look to ourselves for sufficiency? Since we can do nothing apart from Christ, why do we spend so much time looking to ourselves to be self-sufficient? Now, folks, there's some things that we ought to be self-sufficient in. Now, the Bible says if you don't work, you really shouldn't eat. You know what? Man ought to be self-sufficient in providing for his own family. That's a good thing. We shouldn't just assume that everyone else should give to us. But we ought to work that we might supply. And any man who doesn't take care of his own household is worse, the Bible says, than an infidel. The reality is, there are some things to be sufficient in. But spiritually speaking, we must abide in Christ. Our sufficiency is found in him. Our dependence is in the Lord. You and I cannot fight the spiritual battles alone. Our enemy is greater than we are, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The power, the sufficiency is in Christ and Jesus Christ and Him alone, the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us and then works through us. Our sufficiency is to be of God. He must be all that I need. David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because He is my shepherd, there is nothing that I need. As long as I have Him, He does for me what I need." My sufficiency must be in Christ. Because He is that which is sufficient for me, therefore I can be content where I am today. In the midst of the hardships and the struggles, I can still be content. You say, it's hard to be content when you're abased. Well, you know what? It's hard to be content when you're abounding if you're not abiding in the Lord. It really doesn't matter whether we're rich or whether we're poor. It doesn't matter if we're healthy or we're sick. It really doesn't matter if things are going well or things just never seem to go well. Our contentment is not found in the circumstances of life. It is found in Christ and Him alone. That's why Paul would write in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. It is later, he would say, that he has learned in whatsoever state he is to therewith be content. It is why the writer of Hebrews would say that he is content because he understands that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Chapter 13, verse 5. We understand the last part of that verse. We quote it often. Have you ever read the first part? It has everything to do with being spiritually content. Why? Because He is ever with me. My sufficiency must be of Christ. And if it is, I can be content with all that I have. I can believe that He is enough. There is nothing else I need. Jesus Christ is all I need. Nothing more. Nothing less. I can live in poverty, yet in Jesus Christ I have everything. For He has blessed me with all the eternal riches of glory. I can be rich and still know that I have all that I need because it's found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Because those earthly things will fade away. Moth and rust will corrupt. Thieves can break through and steal. But no matter where I am, I am content and I'm happy because He is all that I need. I've often said it this way to folks. Sometimes in our life and in our marriage and our home and the circumstances that we face, someone will look and say, "Don't you ever get discouraged? Don't you get down?" And the truth is this, I don't if I keep this in mind. That with our family together and with our God, there's nothing else that we need. You know, I live my life in such of a way that I don't have to have a lot of friends. I have one. Actually, I have two that mean something to me. The Lord Jesus Christ, who's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and a wife that God gave to me that I love with all my heart. Folks, that's enough. It doesn't matter where we are or what we do or what we have to face, no matter the hardship, if God is with us, that's all we need, right? It's true, but we've got to learn that. We've got to accept that. And if I'm going to face that which is impossible, that which I'm incapable of handling on my own, I better learn now that He is all I need. I need nothing else. Amy and I chose as our life verse together, Psalm 37:4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give thee the desires of thine heart." We chose that because we both came to a certain place in our life before we ever met. Everyone goes off to college and everyone believes that college students hit something called senioritis, which is if I don't find someone to marry, I'll never get married. know, before our senior years, we both came to the same conclusion. If, Lord, I'm single the rest of my life, I'm okay. As long as I have you, I have everything I'll ever need. We kind of shared that one with another, and we realized that that's the verse that we were going to claim together. If we delight in the Lord, that's all that we need. We need nothing else. We had it inscribed into our wedding rings, that verse, so that we would remember that always. In Jesus Christ, we must find our sufficiency. Third, we must place our hope in Christ and Him alone. Colossians 1:27 reminds us that Christ in you is the hope of glory. He is our hope. He is our strength. In the midst of that impossible circumstance that we face, we must keep our hope in the Lord. It's in Him we can trust. Therefore, we can claim that we can say that we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In the midst of that which seems to be impossible, we want to gain understanding. We want to have our thoughts, and we want to put those in place. Yet Solomon said, what we need is to learn to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We need to roll the weight of that burden upon Him and not lean the weight of the burden to our own understanding. The final thing that's going to help us to face the impossible is this. We must be willing to take Christ at His word. We must be willing to take Christ at His word. I believe we often fail to properly face our trials and tests because we refuse to believe that what God's word says is true. We're faced with something that seems impossible. And we know what the Bible says. How many times have you been in the midst of a circumstance and another brother or sister comes along and says, hey, I just want to encourage you with this thought. And your immediate response is, I know. You know what that tells me when someone says, I know. They don't believe that God's word is true. They know it, but they refuse to apply it. We're not willing to take God at His word. Beloved, no matter what we face, God's word is true. His grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. No matter how hard it may seem and how lonely the path that we walk may feel, Matthew 28:20 tells me that Jesus Christ is with us always, even to the ends of the earth. Bible also tells me that He will never leave us nor forsake us, and where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in our midst. That's what Hebrews 13:5 and Matthew 18:20 tell me. And I can begin to take God at His word, and there are countless other verses to consider. Folks, I can take and trust in Him and trust in His word. God's word is true. His promises will be fulfilled. We need to come to Him. Christian, you and I don't know what lies ahead for us. We cannot predict the events of the days ahead. And we cannot change the problems of our past or necessarily even fix right now the struggles of our present. We may face something which to us seems to be impossible, but it's not for God. He is on our side. He is able to do all things. There is nothing too hard for Him. He alone is omnipotent. And His arm is not shortened that He cannot save. In Him, we must trust. In Him, we must believe. Jesus Christ is all we need. He is the one that we're to ever be keeping our eyes upon. Hebrews 12 tells us that we're to be looking to the author and the finisher of our faith as we run the race that is set before us. Sometimes in that race, we come to a hill that we just don't think we'll ever be able to climb. There's no way we're going to be able to continue on. Maybe we should just lie down here, but folks, with men, it might seem impossible. but not with God. With God, all things are possible. The struggles that you have at home, the struggles at work, the financial pressures that we face, the situations that we're going to come across as a church, to us may look to be impossible, but that's not true with God. He is able to do all things. With Him, we can do them as well. But without Him, we can do nothing. That's why we must daily walk with Him and find in Him our sufficiency. Place our hope in Christ and Him alone, and then take Him at His word. Believe His promises that are true, that we might be able to face that which to us seems to be impossible. But praise the Lord, with God, all things are possible. Let's pray.